Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Today in the studio, I have Mike Cabea, our sound engineer and photographer, and he also joins me in different conversations as we're going along here. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Nancy. How are you doing?
It's good to hear your voice on air again.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while.
I know it has.
So it was a great pleasure to be back again and kind of discuss about all these topics, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of checking in.
Right. Exactly. Yep. So today's conversation, Mike and I are going to be talking about the interpersonal skill that all leaders really need to work on and hone, and it's empathetic listening. Before we do that, we're going to start with emotionally checking in, because when you're an empathetic listener, you're also listening with an open heart. Mm-hmm. And you're listening to hear how the person is feeling. You're looking at them. So you've got eye contact. You're kind of just grounding yourself and preparing yourself to really listen and connect with the other person. Mm-hmm. And so we do that with each guest that's on the show. And so I'd like to both of us check in emotionally so we can practice listening, but also connect with each other so we have an authentic conversation.
And I bet you're going to tell me to go first.
Would you please?
Okay, I'll go. Yeah, I was just probing here and up into circle, I guess, three of them. The first one is that I feel a little tired today, a little tired, you know, just recovering from the food I had over the past week. That sort of shaked me a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm still sort of recovering from that, but I'll be fine.
So you took the flu shot and had a little reaction after some medicine that you took to help with the flu symptoms that you were allergic to.
Yes. And I didn't know that until, you know, last week that I was allergic to that medicine. But
sure.
Yeah, it was kind of scary, but it turned out well.
Yeah, you're here before us, and your head now is shrunk back to normal.
Yeah. You can give details, can't you?
Well, remember, we are in a podcast. People are listening.
All right. Now, the other one I would love to mention today is, you know, feel a little bit challenged.
Okay.
You know, a couple of months ago, I'd experienced a robbery. In broad daylight, some people broke into my house and happened to, you know, steal a good chunk of my equipment.
Which horrible. Sort of,
yeah. That was a serious blow I'd received at the time.
Yeah.
And the consequence was that I had, because I had to tell some of my clients, hey, I can't do it, you know, which is not ideal when you're undertaking a business.
Yeah.
The time for me to kind of get the other equipment and to get rolling again. So, still kind of feel...
Because all your equipment was stolen?
Yes, my equipment, the main stuff was stolen.
Yeah, I was grateful that the podcast interviews that we had done, you had already passed on to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was edited and everything was good to go.
Yeah.
And I had passed it to you.
Yeah.
So that took a little time for me to, you know, kind of get readjusted again to the situation, kind of get the new equipment and get rolling. But still, you know, when you have told some of your clients, oh, I can't do it because I don't need the equipment right now, people kind of tend to memorize that. You know, you got to struggle again to get all these people back.
Yes.
So that turned out to be a little challenge, if you will. Although I must say that right now I'm doing pretty well. But still, it needs a little effort to, you know, conjugate again in that regard.
As far as getting the customers back, because you were able to replace all your equipment.
Yes, I've replaced their pretty much, you know, the most important part of it, yeah.
And you got an awesome new camera.
Yeah, that was kind of my revenge, if you will. So I decided, okay, if they're taking a Mark III, I'm going to buy a Mark IV this time, you know. Incredible, you know, lenses and stuff like that, just to make sure the next guy who's going to be my client is going to be blown away.
Yeah, that's great. That's the best revenge, right?
Yeah, that's my best revenge right there.
Yeah, is to make a situation better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the other one I circled here was, you know, I guess I felt positive. My mentality is positive right now.
Okay.
It was that challenging, you know, you felt vulnerable at some point because of everything that happened and you're like, okay, how am I going to be able to, you know, stand up again? But to this point, I think I made good progress.
Yeah.
So I remain super positive. And believe it or not, people are liking my pictures and videos. So else could you need?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Exactly. Well, and you also experienced the generosity of people.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, a whole group of our church community came together.
Yeah. They show that they're attentive to what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
So it's good, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
So I'm grateful for that.
Good. All right. And is there anything specific that you would like to make sure that you understand about empathetic listening this evening?
Well, the first question that popped in my mind as soon as you told me we're going to talk about that, I wanted to make sure I get to write the bridge. Why do you think is it good for an entrepreneur to be a good listener?
Yeah.
And how does that pay, actually?
Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really an incredible, important interpersonal skill, mm-hmm. because the people that we work with every day, mm-hmm. we're on projects with, we're connecting with, we're doing important work. Our livelihood is all intertwined together. And so being a good listener helps with build really solid relationships with people. It shows that you respect them, you affirm mm-hmm. them as a human being, mm-hmm. That you have a deep, you know, connection, not only a connection with them, but mm-hmm. you care. Mm-hmm. You totally care about the other person.
Absolutely.
So you show that through empathetic listening.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah, but I can't wait now to know what are the different stages or types of, listening. The different levels and what all of those mean actually, and would there be any way to correct any of them? How do you recognize that you're failing here? You could do better.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Well, great. I'll check in emotionally with myself, with the audience.
Oh, absolutely.
And you,
I was going to forget about that. Come on. You got to put yourself out there too.
I know. That's right. Right. We're all taking risks here. Okay. Well, I feel receptive, realistic. I feel grounded and optimistic too. Uh-huh. I feel very courageous each time that we do a podcast session. I always, have that certain level of nervousness that comes into it. And I, and so I feel it gets me out of my comfort zone and helps me to grow in a different way. And I appreciate that. I feel a bit overcommitted. I'm in yoga teacher training and it's 16 hours extra a week, 5 to 10 on Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays from 12 to 6 for 12 weeks. And it's kind of influencing my entire day and life in a really positive way, but it's a lot trying to balance everything. I feel very determined, and I'm also, the way I'm putting myself out there, I feel vulnerable.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it is actually giving me energy.
Good to know.
That's right.
And talking about the show itself, how are we doing so far, broadly talking, in terms of listeners? Have you been receiving any feedbacks on?
Oh. Yeah. Yes. That's funny. Joan Moser from Spoken Impact.
Yeah.
She's a speaker, public speaker, and she teaches communication skills to executives. And she's going to be in the studio coming up. And one of our listeners has mentioned that they're introverted and that they have a lot of social anxiety around speaking in groups and they're, in a leadership position. And so she was hoping that she could get some tips on how to become better and get more comfortable within herself in talking in front of a group. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm bringing Joan in.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be an incredible show. Can't wait to listen to that.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'll be privileged because I'm going to be editing it.
That's right. So you get to listen to it more than once.
Us.
Yeah, me too. Me too. You know, the other thing that has been really important for us to continue this is for me to be able to listen to myself.
Yes.
After you're done with the editing, then I have to listen to it again and then write up an explanation about it and the program. And I really enjoy that part now.
Oh.
Because by the time I get it back to me, it's like somebody else did the interview.
Yes. Yes, I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. So initially, the first 10 episodes, I'm like, oh man, you know, just don't like the way I sound. And, you know, I'm laughing too much, or, you know, there's just the little critic.
Yeah. Very critical toward yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That's really great. And then I thought that another compliment to having Joan in would be Stevie Ray, who is a comedian, and he teaches improv.
Ooh.
And improv is really an important skill, too, as a leader, to be able to communicate on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think our listeners will enjoy, you know, those upcoming episodes as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's the kind of feedback I'm getting is kind of people are giving me some topics that they're kind of would like to be addressed on air, and I just love doing that.
Absolutely.
And then I just became an Amazon affiliate, which means it's one way that I can, you know, make some money doing this podcast.
Oh.
Because I want to keep doing it now that we notice that, you know, things are working.
Absolutely.
So on the main website for wementor.com, if people want to order a book, they can just click on the button and they get immediately 20% off on any book that they order. And then I get, you know, a couple pennies from that, but it's no extra charge to our listeners, and it's based on something that they would like to get anyways, and they get a discount.
Yes.
So it's kind of a win-win-win situation.
Absolutely. That's great.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that kind of development.
Yeah. Great development. It's great development.
Yeah.
And can I tell you how much stuff I've been learning just from, you know, editing. And like you, take the time to listen to these shows after a while. You know, I get to listen to them, 10 times maybe throughout the process of editing, because you listen to the same sentences and then you come back and then you move them until you finish it. But then after a while, when I get to listen to it, I'm like, wow, this is rich.
Yeah. And I'm really enjoying learning about the upbringing of everybody.
Yes.
And, you know, like Ken Susan and how his upbringing in New York and how his IP Fridays podcast really helps him tell stories and stay connected with the law and, you know, connect with a partner in Germany to deliver the programming, you know, for intellectual property. And Mike Bauer of Masnick Bauer and Associates, he has another upcoming episode as well. So, you know, growing up in West St. Paul, local guy, you know, awesome neighborhood, along with, you know, he's an accountant by trade and learning about his family and all the different pieces of information we get just from hearing people's stories and learning about who they are.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah. So we're going to keep going.
Let's move ahead. Let's move right ahead.
That sounds great.
Okay, I'm not going to ask any other question right now. Why don't you go ahead and tell me a little bit about the five levels of listening?
Okay, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's two different types. There's listening types, and then there's also listening levels. So the ways in which we listen. And we're going to be focusing mostly on empathetic listening. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to mention some of the other types of listening so we can kind of get a context for it.
Yes.
The two main types of listening, like the foundations of all the other types of listening are discriminative listening mm-hmm. and comprehensive listening. So discriminative listening is first developed at a very early age, perhaps even before birth, like in the womb.
Really?
Yeah. This is the most basic form of listening and does not involve the understanding of the meaning of words or phrases, but merely the different sounds that are produced. That's why, like, when children are in the womb, they're talked to,
yes.
The belly's rubbed.
Yes.
There's different music that's played,
yes.
all the sounds around them, they're actually picking up those sounds.
Mm-hmm.
In early childhood, for example, a distinction is made between the sounds of the voices of the parents. Mm-hmm. So the voice of the father sounds different than that of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have two mothers or two fathers, you know, they make a distinction between the voices of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Discriminative listening develops through childhood and into adulthood. So as we grow older and we develop and gain more life experience, our ability to distinguish between different sounds is improved. Not only can we recognize different voices, but we also develop the ability to recognize subtle differences in the way that sounds are made.
Mm-hmm.
This is fundamental to ultimately understanding what these sounds mean. So differences include many subtleties, recognizing foreign languages.
Yes.
Like your children are bilingual.
Yeah.
Did you directly teach them English? And
no, it's interesting. When you grow in Africa, all my kids are born in Africa. When you grow in Africa, you easily speak at least three languages.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have these vernacular languages, and then we have the national language. Like in my case, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, we have French as the national language, and then we have another four languages that are vernacular, if you will, that represent four major tribes in the country, although we probably have 100 languages, mm-hmm. you know. But then when you grow, every kid is pretty much exposed to at least two or three languages.
Within their family.
Within their family and the surroundings, you know.
Okay.
Yes.
So there's lots of communication going on in multiple languages all the time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Usually people have like one common language that they speak usually at home. Like in my case, it was French. And so my kids would say that French was their mother tongue, if you will. Their first language.
Mm-hmm.
The first language they ever spoke. But then when they step out of the house and they meet my mom, she will have the tendency to talk to them in Swahili or in Chiluba, you know, and she will mix it with French too. So automatically, kids learn three languages at once, you know. Sometimes they can be a little bit confused at the very early stages, like they wouldn't make the difference between the three languages. But it's like a little mystery, if you will. When you speak in French, they will know they can only answer in French.
Oh.
Yeah, when you speak in Swahili, they know they need to answer in Swahili, even though they can't say, this is Swahili, this is French, this is that and that, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of, yeah.
Well, I think learning another language is a great way to develop empathetic listening.
Absolutely. And I can tell you that. You know, I currently speak six languages, which means I have, to some degree, swam in that ocean, a cultural ocean of all these languages. But because every language comes with a particular culture to it.
Yes.
The way I think in French is not necessarily the way I speak in English and vice versa, or in Chiluba or any of the languages. When I get too emotional, for example, I tend to react in the language of, in my mother tongue.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is French?
Which is Chiluba, in fact.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Which is Chiluba. Although I spoke French ever since I was a baby.
Yeah.
But my dad and mom had a tendency to speak Chiluba mostly around the house.
Oh.
So that's potentially my first language. You know, I can't even tell exactly, really. But I spent quite a long time in Bujumbura, where that language is spoken, you know, throughout my life. And there's just things that you can't express better in a different language but that one.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I grew speaking French fluently, you know, as a journalist, you know,
sure.
your speaking ability in the specific languages to be above the average, and I reached that. But still, there are stuff that I can only better express in Chiluba or in Swahili, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's interesting. It's all interconnected, you know, emotions, values, philosophies,
yes.
The worldview in itself, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You see the world through the spectacles of your culture, of your language.
Yeah.
That's how you perceive the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I stop from time to time, you know, I would stop and analyze an expression in English. I'm like, wow, this is pretty close on how we say it in Chiluba.
Okay.
We'd probably have the equivalent in French, but completely a different picture.
Oh.
You know? But word for word, it would be probably very similar to what we say in Swahili or in Chiluba. And there's no apparent connection between those two languages, like English and Chiluba. It's like day and night, you know.
Yes.
There's no potential connection there. But sometimes you'd be surprised to hear how people present an idea, like an idiomatic expression, and you'll have exactly the same in a completely exotic language, you know.
Yeah.
You wonder, when did it happen, that connection? It's difficult to tell, but that's how the human mind works.
Yes, exactly. Oh, well, so in your culture, you learn the appreciation of language, but
yes.
Body language.
Oh, yes. It does play.
The volume of the voice.
Oh, a lot. It does play an incredible role. And plus, in most African languages, you have what they call tone. You
yes.
know, you'd have the same word, but depending on how it is articulated, it carries different meanings.
Oh,
you know,
I
when
see.
I say, Chilamba, 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 chilamba. It's the same word, written pretty much the same way, but my intonation will convey a completely different message.
So what's the difference between?
Like when I say chilamba is like your shirt, okay?
Okay.
When I say chilamba, it means it is...
Slithers?
Yes.
Okay.
But when also I say chilamba, I mean a bridge.
Oh.
You see?
Yeah. You almost look like you're going to start singing.
Yeah. And when I say chilamba, it means cooked, something that's cooked.
Oh, so
it's
totally
an adjective.
Different yeah. meanings.
You see,
oh my gosh.
Completely different meanings.
Yeah.
But it all depends on the tone, on where I place my accent.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But along with that comes a whole legion of expressions or proverbs and stuff like that. It can get really complex.
And what has been your observation of people here in America who yeah. know just one language? Does that seem like odd?
Well, there's a give and take in that, I would say. I could take the risk of saying it's a little limitation.
Yeah.
Because you don't get to see other patterns of thinking.
Right, that go along with
yes,
the learning language. Of another language.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a variety of patterns of thinking.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful to see those on how people think. Why do some people put the verb at the end of the sentence, for example?
I see. So it helps you really stay engaged in the language and connecting with people.
Absolutely.
From a point of view of being curious.
Absolutely. And I've come to see beauty in all of that, too.
It seems to me that knowing other languages and
yes.
the way that you describe how you're engaged in the
yeah.
the listening
yes.
actually inspires your creativity.
Absolutely. It does inspire creativity and I would even say understanding.
Yes.
I understand better the diversity, you know, in terms of cultures. You know, I think I've come to learn very quickly on how to understand a Native American, you know,
mm-hmm.
as far as their attitude, temperament is concerned.
Yes.
You know, just, you know, English is very practical. It's very, I would say, English is very direct.
Oh, interesting.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. In some languages.
I hadn't thought about it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In some languages, to give an order, I mean, you have to pay attention if you're receiving an order to even know that this is an order. You might not get it because they're just using a different way of expressing it in the name of respect, for example.
Oh.
For example, if I would have asked you to close the door if you're getting in, I may not look at you and just go like, if Nancy would want to close the door, you know,
yeah.
something like that. I don't even know that this is a good translation, but you see the picture. I would say something similar to that to ask you to close the door instead of telling you.
Instead of telling me.
Yeah, instead of telling you directly.
Or commanding me.
Or commanding you.
Yeah.
You see?
I see.
That's just a small example. The other thing I can mention here is, I would even say an exaggerated use of the us. Because people are so connected, you tend to do everything together. There's the sense of community.
Yes.
The sense of community is so deep that even when you're speaking by yourself, you sometimes tend to use the us, you know, like you're talking the first person plural, you know.
Okay.
And over against that, in America, what I noticed upon just arriving here, it was a little bit individualistic.
Yes.
Sort of speaking, you know. Necessarily in a bad way, but the language tends to make people focus first on themselves, you know. This is the priority. You know, I got to do this. I got to go. I got to change. I got to do this, you know, my money, my health, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
In other parts of the world, it's more of our thing, you know, our thing. I can't be without you.
I see.
Sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all of that comes through the language. And that's how even people happen to actually learn those values. It's through the language because that's what you use on a daily basis.
Yeah.
That's how people speak. And so you tend to think, oh, no, it's always about us, not about me. You know?
I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And your neighbor, he's, you know, you can address anybody right away without a lot of, you know, it's getting deep now, Nancy, you see. This is sort of philosophy.
That's good,
contact with people is very quick and very easy. Like we could be getting on a bus and I can touch you. You won't need to turn back to see who touched you necessarily.
Yeah.
You know?
I see.
Because, you know, it's just normal that somebody touches me.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, you got to take care of yourself. Careful with the stranger, you know?
Right.
Careful
stranger
with
danger.
Stranger danger.
Teachings.
Don't talk to anybody. You can turn out to be even rude to address somebody just like that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not part of the language I grew up in. If you look closely again to all of that, the language can be one of the vehicle through which all these attitudes and tendencies find their place and get in people's minds.
So it seems to me that the deep level of listening is something that you have learned in your language.
Yes.
At a very young age.
Yeah, I think so.
And everyone shared in it. Lots of communication.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
The time has flown by so quickly, Mike.
Yeah.
But I think that you've given our listeners another way to look at and think about empathetic listening. And I think what I would like to leave is there's four autobiographical responses that inhibit people from listening empathetically. And that's judging, so you're evaluating, you're comparing, you're labeling people. Advising, you're attempting to fix the problem before you even understand thoroughly what the problem is. Probing and asking questions that sometimes is appropriate if you're listening deeply, you want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
But probing is more about almost reminds me of gossip. They're probing questions so that, you know, what are they going to do with the information? You know, they're gathering all the details. They're listening real close because the next nugget you share is something that they're thinking they can maybe pass on to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That really breaks the connection between the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Or interpreting, which is projecting or presuming that they think they know what you're talking about and kind of cut you off, and maybe the conversation goes back on them.
Exactly.
And so you feel like you haven't been heard deeply.
Yeah.
Do you find that that happens much often?
Well,
for you in...
You know, just, you know, following your explanation of what it is, listening empathetically, I return one thing. And I think I mentioned that a little bit while talking here. When you listen to somebody with a preconceived idea, for example, well, whatever you want to see is what you're going to see. You're going to miss the point.
Yeah.
You're going to miss the point. This person probably doesn't even need a solution to come from you. They might know what is the solution, but they just need someone to help take the overflow of that pressure in them.
Yeah.
You know, they just want somebody to listen to them. That in itself is a real need. And sometimes people don't realize that. Right. You know, I just want you to listen to me. End of the story.
Right. That's not validating enough.
Exactly.
I don't need you to solve my problem.
No. I'm not expecting you to do any magic tricks or whatever to help me resolve my problem. I just want you to listen to me.
Yes.
I just want to share that. Sometimes that's the point that most people don't get. We as human beings sometimes just need someone to share with. That's it.
Yeah. A witness to our day.
Yeah. And the best way to explain that is, I think I can dare to say that that's one of the reasons why we end up sometimes having pets. You know?
Mm-hmm.
This is somebody we cannot communicate with verbally.
Right.
But we can share at a level of emotion and love and all of that.
Yeah.
We need that company. We need somebody who can witness who we are, what we are experiencing inside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So when I come to you to tell you my story, like I've been victim of this robbery, it's not because I'm expecting you to, you know, pay back or whatever, or give me an extraordinary solution to that problem. Sometimes it's just a way for me to kind of get it out of me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at least I'm sure that somebody has been listening to me.
Yes.
But then if I go ahead and ask you if you know what would be the solution to the problem, yes. Then you can talk to me.
Yeah. Then you need the feedback because you're asking me directly.
Yes, I'm asking that feedback.
Exactly.
Then you can provide graciously that feedback, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can lecture me, if you will.
Yeah.
You can lecture, but not before.
Yeah.
And that in itself is enough sometimes to give a very bad impression to a potential client.
Yeah. Well, and I think we need a lot more of that in working, you know, when we're working so closely with each other every day.
Yes.
I think we need to have some curiosity.
Absolutely.
And as entrepreneurs and employers, we need to really cultivate an atmosphere where people feel safe enough emotionally to really listen deeply. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do that is to be the role model, to mentor that with the staff. And they'll respond. And I want to say to you, Mike, that this is what works so well in our relationship. I think we really hear each other. We validate each other. And we really have the same desire to really produce a really great product and enjoy. We have a lot of fun, you know, while we're working together. And so the quality of that relationship, we keep working on.
Absolutely.
And it feels great.
Yes.
And I would like other people to do more of that, to take the time to do that.
Yes.
So that's what I'm asking everybody to do between now and next Monday.
Yeah. And if I can just make a little comment on that, it takes willing to achieve that. The human nature is probably not automatically set to listen empathetically. It takes a little effort. You got to work on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to want to achieve that and you will see it happening. This is not something that comes out of the blue. You need just to pay attention to that. And what we're doing now is just create that awareness, which is great already. And that's the most basic and the most essential part to it, is to be aware of it and try to cultivate that attitude. It takes some power of will to develop.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll give each other a high five.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll call it another day. All right, everybody. Keep working hard, and we'll see you next Monday. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. That
was lovely. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.